Oh, Gerhard Brinkmann had just had his 88th birthday when he was mugged. He's a German and a small, frail old man that the mugger thought he was easy pickings. Let me describe what happened in his own words. He said, a long-haired man demanded that I hand over my money. I told him to come closer if he wanted it, and I landed him a full force, right hook, on his chin. And he knocked his assailant out cold. You see, Gerhard Brinkmann was a national lightweight boxing champion in his youth, much to the mugger's dismay. You see, that mugger, well, he saw an old, vulnerable-looking man and mistaked him at his cost. Today, I don't want us to make the same mistake. The Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, it's a familiar story to us all, isn't it? And we hear it again, and it is a story that we enjoy to hear, isn't it? It's the story, isn't it, of a glowing stable with fluffy, clean straw and a little baby with a shining halo glowing from his head. It's a story of joy and of happiness, of celebration. We've sung of that tonight, haven't we? But have we really realised who Jesus is? Or have we just made the same mistake that mugger in Germany made? Let me ask you a question. And it's this, and it's a question I hope that will help you think about this question, have I understood who Jesus is and why he matters? And it's simply this. Is Christmas the best news you've ever heard? Is Christmas the best news that you've ever heard? Because I want to say this respectfully tonight, that if it isn't, if it hasn't grabbed your heart and filled you with joy and wonder, then you haven't recognised who Jesus is or why he came. Is Jesus, the coming of Jesus into this world, the best news that you've ever heard? Well, I'm going to draw a couple of points tonight from our last reading from John chapter 1. It's printed in our order of service if you want to see where I'm getting these words from tonight. I want to just read out a couple of lines from our reading, the end of the first paragraph of John chapter 1. We read these words, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, first of the two startling truths of many that are in that passage, but the first is this, that Jesus is God's light shining into our dark world. Jesus is God's light shining into our dark world. Well, if Jesus is God's light, what does that mean? Well, Jesus himself said these words later in John's Gospel. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus understood himself to be God's revelation to the world, that he makes God known personally in this world. It's why we remember the birth of this baby. You think about it for a moment. Here was a baby born into poverty amongst animals. He didn't have his own bed. But of course, that was probably true for, well, most of the ancient world, wasn't it? It's how most people were born. There's nothing remarkable particularly about this baby other than who he is. Here, we're told by John, was the light of the world, the life of the world, the one who was with God from the beginning, the one who was God. In him was grace and truth. Right at the end of our reading, we have these familiar words. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, what John wants us to know is that Jesus is the Word of God, God's message to us. Now think about that for a moment. God became flesh, one of us, in the person of Jesus Christ. Colonel James Irwin was Apollo 15 astronaut. He was the eighth man to walk on the moon. It was a profound experience for him. When he became back, he said, the greatest miracle is not that man stood on the moon, but that God stood on earth. And that's John's claim. The Word became flesh. God came among us. A God whom we can now know and see and relate to. We don't have to have educated guesses about God and what he is like, because God has come to us and has shown us what he is like. God is made known to us. Jesus, the light. But more uncomfortable than that truth is the reality that Jesus, God's light in the world, also reveals our darkness. And when we look at the world around us, we know that it's not the world we would want it to be. And Jesus' light coming into this world exposes the darkness, not just in our world, but in our own lives, doesn't it? All of us has turned our backs on God. All of us haven't acknowledged God's rightful place in our life. There's a lovely story told by the author Gervase Finn. He's brilliant at telling stories of children and their antics. He says this of a little boy called William, who would desperately wanted to play the part of Joseph in the school nativity play. But much to his disappointment, he was given the role of the mere innkeeper. He was gutted. "Why can't I be Joseph?" he said. "Because you can't," said his teacher, somewhat irritated. "And if you don't stop whinging, you'll be a palm tree." Well, the night of the play came. The school hall was packed with teachers and expectant parents. And there, Mary and Joseph enter the stage. They come towards the inn, and little William stands there by his door. Joseph delivers his familiar line, "Is there any room at the inn?" But instead of saying no, but there's a stable round the back, the boy saw his opportunity to steal the show. He said, "Well, she can come in, but you can push off." At which point, the production descended into chaos. But you see, I would say there's something of that little boy in all of us, isn't there? You see, we all want to be in control of the script, don't we? We all want to say that we have the centre point in our lives. We want to be those who kind of are masters of our destiny, who don't like to be told what to do, but like to do as we think best, as we think right. But that is only God's role in our lives, isn't it? If God is God, the one who made us and rules over us, then he's the one who has control over our lives. He's the one who tells us how we should live. He is the one who controls our destiny. Jesus coming as light into the world reveals our darkness. Our role is to live as God made us to live, in grateful submission to him. It's the way that God made us to live. The darkness in the world isn't just out there, it's in each of us, isn't it? And God, as a consequence, he can't allow that darkness to prosper as though it was nothing. God is light. Light brings with it all the purity and power of a holy God. And so God couldn't ignore that darkness in his world. The true darkness in the world is exposed by Jesus. But Jesus being light isn't the only big truth that John wants to leave us with. Because where would we go? In our darkness, we have no hope. We've made our loving God angry at us. And we rightly face his judgment. But notice John tells us that this light was the life of men. The life of God has come into the world. And that's the second mind-blowing truth that we want to think about tonight. Yes, Jesus, the light, has come into this world, but Jesus is also the life that has come into this world, into a world that has rejected him. 67% of women surveyed recently said that they found Christmas more stressful and rather than enjoyable. I just think what the percentage of clergy would say in that survey. But Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy and celebration, but we ask, what have we done? What have we done to ourselves? Wouldn't it be marvellous to start all over again, to blot the things out? Christmas can be a painful time for many. Memories, realities that just aren't as they would want them to be. Wouldn't it be great if we could start all over again? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a new beginning? And Christmas, of course, is the great truth that it can. Yes, there is a new beginning, because Jesus is light and life. John describes this as being born of God, being given the right to become a child of God, bringing hope, joy and purpose as Jesus comes into the world. The consequence of ignoring God, as we all do, the consequence of the darkness in our lives and our rebellion against God, of wanting to be in control and the centre of the stage, is that we reject God's life and we face his eternal death. Now let's not get this wrong. Just like that German who got that 88-year-old man, his identity wrong. So Jesus, we've got to get this right. Jesus came as God's life giver to the world. And to reject Jesus is to reject God's life now and for all eternity. Christmas makes us honest with ourselves. There's a lovely story I heard on the radio, account of a listener. One Christmas Eve, she opened a drawer in her hall, and there she discovered a pile of checks. With horror, she realized that this pile of checks were the gifts that she had intended to give to her family. And then with greater horror, she realized again, as she thought of the Christmas cards that she'd sent to all her family that should have had the checks in them. And instead, she realized that as she wished her family happy Christmas, they'd open their cards to read these words, "Buy your own Christmas present this year." I wonder if you've ever treated God like that. Maybe we haven't even realized it. Maybe we've lived a life of good intentions, but we've never quite got round to doing what God actually requires of us, because we've never really been clear on what that is. What does God require of us? The wonderful good news of Christmas is that God tells us what that is. He tells us that God requires that we recognize who we really are. That we have turned from God, we've rebelled against him, and that we need a Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world for life. Jesus, not just a good teacher, or not just a self-esteem coach, he sent us a Savior into this world, because what God requires of us is that we humble ourselves. And as we humble ourselves before God, we admit our sin, where we've fallen short of God, and our need of God's life in this world. We allow God to forgive us, even those darkest corners of our lives, to forgive us where we have failed God and failed others. See, Christmas is a time of great joy, a time of celebration. Those who receive Jesus, they become the right to become the children of God. But Christmas can be bad news of no joy if we ignore the Son of God given to us. In him was life, John says. That life was the light of men. We don't have to climb an eastern mountain. We don't have to find a mystic. No, he has made himself known to us. And he has made known that he comes to bring us life if we trust him and follow him. I saw on the internet, so it has to be true, of course. A wonderful exchange between a US Navy ship. A radio transcript was put out as this. Of course, the US authorities denied it immediately, but it has the ring of truth, in my opinion. So what you make of it. From the US Navy ship, they said this. Please divert your course 0.5 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The reply came back. Recommend that you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The ship replied, this is the captain of a US Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. No, I say again, you divert your course. This is the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea. We are a large warship of the US Navy. Divert your course now. And the reply came, this is a lighthouse. Your call. Well, people respond to Jesus in different ways, don't they? There are those who love the Jesus of Christmas. But Jesus is more than that, isn't he? Maybe you'd like to find out more about this Jesus. Maybe tonight, as you've been listening to what I've said, you might think, I can't change my life just on what you've said in 10 or so minutes. Well, could I encourage you, just simply this, come back to St. Peter's. We've got these booklets Mike mentioned at the beginning. Please take one and read it. I know of a lady in my own village whose life was transformed by reading this booklet. It could change yours. But above all else, please don't go away from here thinking that Jesus is a nice addition to Christmas. He's the best news you could possibly hear ever, ever. What will you do with him? Well, that's your call. Let me pray. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and we can know you personally through Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came and made the way open to you through his life, his death and his resurrection. We pray, Heavenly Father, this Christmas time, that knowing him, we might know true joy, our sins forgiven, and life everlasting. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen.